Gold, dein Podcast mit Wert. This is the second part of the interview with Rogues. With Zach from Rogues, actually. He and Freddy started Rogues in January 2020. And now they do have a lovely restaurant and a great sandwich shop. Both up in northeastern London, in Bethnal Green. Last time, we talked about his employees, that it doesn't matter where you're from, it just matters who you are, and what we both love about hospitality. This time, we talk about the opening of the restaurant, what he was aware of and not really aware of, how many employees you should have in a restaurant, and how it is actually with breaks in hospitality. So have fun listening to episode 10 of Gold, dein Podcast mit Wert.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost the same kind of, I suppose, attitude and feeling, but it's just displayed in different ways. So like in the kitchen, it's more like focusing on the job at hand, because it's constant. You know, when you're busy, you know, you're constantly cooking one thing after the other. So it's like, but you got to put out so much into each piece of meat, each piece of fish, each vegetable, whatever it is, each cold plate you plate up. But as an attitude, yeah, it's like, if you're not happy or you don't really want to be there, you can, with cooking, you can tell straight away, you know. But, you know, I don't go out much to eat, to be honest, but you can, as a chef, just working in the industry for 20 years now, if I go and eat somewhere, I don't care how much money it costs, as long as it's good and you can see that the person cooking that food cares about that food. Because quite often I'll go out to eat and pay a lot of money for something and I can just tell that there's no love involved in it. It's just very almost surgical, you know. I think, so going back to what you're saying about the guys at the front, when they know when to, it's time to run around a bit or it's time to not, and then, but also have time to like sing along with the music playing in the restaurant. It's just displayed in other ways, you know. The chefs probably wouldn't, you know, it's like my guys in the kitchen couldn't work on the floor in the same way, because, you know, they channel their passion in other ways, right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I had one of the guys on the floor in the kitchen, they're amazing on the floor and that, but in the kitchen, if they had the same, you know what I mean, if they approached the kitchen the same way they do the floor, it wouldn't work. You know, yeah. It wouldn't work for me, certainly. I need everyone laser focused in the kitchen. But on the floor, you know, that's a skill in itself, being able to talk to people, making people feel comfortable and welcomed, and that you genuinely are happy that they are in our restaurant, you know, the good thing is we don't have anyone that has to completely change their persona. They are just, that is the way they are. They're just people that love to be around other people and want to give, and they're generous with their time, but also, I don't know, their
but
feelings.
They're totally professionals.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you can't be, you know, bubbly and hugging everyone, but then you're useless at your job. You know, you need to be able to do both. But
I got a hug anyway from everyone.
Yeah. Well,
up front.
That's because I told them I had to.
Okay.
I'm joking. No, I didn't do that. No, that happens. Yeah. You know, that does happen quite often. Sometimes I'm like, do you know this person? They're like, no.
Yeah.
Like when a guest will leave, I'll see like Katrina or Alicia or anyone else, any of the other guys, like hugging a guest. I'm like, oh, why didn't you tell me that you had friends in tonight? Like we would have given them a drink. Or no, is they're like, no, we've just met them. I've just known them tonight.
Yeah. And this professionality with kind-hearted people in one person, it's just great, because then you are likely to come back.
Exactly.
You know? So this is like, they are open-minded, they have their arms up, And you are serving great food on a really, I think it's a reasonable price. So
yeah, something we really, really are conscious of. We go to the market rather than using suppliers, which saves us. You know, I mean, I'm not 100% sure. It's probably about 15-20% in terms of the cost,
mm-hmm.
because we go to the source rather than the middleman.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're a neighborhood restaurant. I mean, I know it's a bit of a phrase that a lot of restaurants use. You know, we're a local neighbor, but we are really.
Yeah, and you are locals.
Yeah, and a lot of we have a lot of regular guests, which is a really, which is wonderful. You know, the fact that we've got people that come almost weekly, it's incredible for me to, like, there's a few things from opening a restaurant that I didn't even think about previously working in restaurants that I like really made, like sort of pinch me moments, you know, when you're like, oh my God. Because obviously working in a restaurant, no matter if it's yours or not, you just get, you're like, you're in it day in, day out. You know, you just go in, you do your job. But sometimes I have to check myself and be like, oh my God, like this person has been 50 times to the restaurant. You know, it's unbelievable. Or sometimes even just seeing guests walk in the door all dressed up. And I'm like, oh my God, people, I just sort of think, God, these people probably finished work, went home, got ready, got their going out clothes on and came to Rogues, you know.
Yeah.
Came to our restaurant. It's like, I think it's because we started in such humble beginnings in terms of doing little pop-ups for like 12 people in like Freddie's auntie's house or in a cafe that was closed at night or above a pub, carrying all our equipment around in the back of the car. And now we've got this restaurant that people get dressed up to come to.
Yeah, it's a lovely place, and you told me you have 42 seats.
Yeah.
So is that actually is that common for a London neighborhood restaurant that you have 12 employees, really, for 42 seats? Because that sounds
a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't have 12 every day.
Okay.
Obviously, we're open 6 days a week, so we have a rota.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, when you came on Friday, we have 42 seats, but we did 75 people. So it's nearly twice the restaurant.
Yeah.
And we had 10 staff, which is 5 in the kitchen and 5 on the floor, which, well, it is quite a lot, I suppose. But it's just because we wanted, I suppose we could do it with one or two less, but then it would make everyone's life a lot harder and it would only affect the guests. I think we have 5 on the floor and 5 in the kitchen because...
And it would not be the same atmosphere.
No, I think, you know, we want to be able to give attention.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what actually I wanted to point it out, because it's not the common version that every restaurant has. Not too many, many staff, more or less.
A lot of really expensive posh restaurants, yes.
Yeah.
They have a lot of stuff.
But you are a very welcoming restaurant for everybody.
Mm. Yeah,
so
no,
you are not a posh dumb.
No.
Yeah, restaurant. So this was actually what came in my mind when I saw and I counted the people before. That's why I wanted to ask you the question, because it's very nice and it's for the guests, it's a very laid-back atmosphere, and you can feel it. And I could see that you have one or two, maybe, as the common version is, one or two staff members more.
Mm.
What I really appreciate and what I totally support on the attitude. Yeah,
you know, I think I would say a lot of perhaps business owners or people who are in charge of things like wage bills and that. You know, it's an expense. It is an expense. It's a lot of money. You have to, I mean, in London, the minimum wage for someone in London is like £11 an hour now, which, I mean, that's more than double that it was when I started cooking. Mm-hmm. I mean, the minimum wage being that high is good. It protects people from not, you know, it gives them enough money to be able to live and have a bit of money to enjoy themselves and feed themselves. I mean, it's just the nature of London has become so expensive. But I think there's something to be said for businesses like ours, very small, very independent businesses. The minimum wage is important. It protects a lot of people, particularly young people or people that have come to this country from other places. But so if you're a big business or a big established restaurant, that isn't an issue, that, you know, £11-12 an hour. But for a tiny little place like us, that's a lot of money when you look at an annual salary. You know, it's a lot, and it's very difficult. Well, going back to your point, yeah, we have perhaps one or two staff more than a similar restaurant of our size, but that's just because, yeah, like I said, we want to deliver a certain level of service and food. But I suppose it goes to show that we're not in this, you know, making money is a fundamental thing. You have to make money or you cannot operate.
Sure.
But we're not doing it, you know, we're not just trying to squeeze it and have the absolute minimum people so that the profits are absolutely maximized. No, we don't do it for that reason. But it is hard for a little restaurant like us having to meet requirements. I mean, it's not like I want to pay people less than the minimum wage, but I think a one-size-fits-all approach to minimum wage, well, not the minimum wage, but perhaps, I don't know, the government, there should be some sort of, I mean, perhaps there is, maybe I'm wrong, I just don't know, but I think maybe it should be like, if you're a humongous company, yes, they should be paying that minimum wage, but for someone like us, a very small independent restaurant, the staff should obviously get paid above minimum wage, but maybe like a bit of help from the government to top up so businesses like ours don't have to fork out so much money, basically, because it's so hard in London, the cost of produce, rent, travel, you know, and we can't just automatically pass these costs on to our guests because, you know, it's always like the guests don't care, you know, trying to explain to a guest why a piece of fish is £25 and they can go to the fish and chip shop and have the fish. But it's just, you know, some guests just don't want to know that one fish is farmed, another fish is caught with a line on a rod, and it's a wild animal, and it's the absolute best fish you can possibly buy. And it costs us a lot of money, and we need to charge you this money to be able to buy that fish again for the next person. You know, it's like, it's very hard, that is, actually. Trying to, like, maintain the restaurant being affordable and approachable and local, but then also, you know, paying the staff fairly and making sure that, you know, we're all in line with everything else. It is tricky.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it is. You told me before that you had three people in advance.
Yeah,
from the start
we did.
And you were three. So now you're 12.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
And I've seen how Rogues is right now. And it's a beautiful place. Mm. And if I would live in London, I would go regularly there too.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
because
that.
The food is amazing, and the people in front or in the kitchen are as well. And you do a really, really great job. So thank you.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. It really does mean a lot, you know. That means more than anything, you know, really. I'd rather someone came and said that than like, oh, I had the best meal I've ever had in my life, but it was expensive or something. You know, I'd much rather hear that someone would come back. Basically, that's the goal, isn't it? If for a restaurant, you want people to leave thinking, would I come back? Yes, and then hopefully you'd tell someone else. And I think that is how we have grown. We have organically grown from that.
Mm.
We don't have a huge social media presence, and we've not paid for any marketing. We're not paid any PR agency at all. You know, we've just done it. Well, it's all
by heart.
Well, I suppose, yeah, but like
by heart and mind.
Yeah. The amount of guests we do.
Yeah.
The amount of people that come to see us every week is, I'd say, not 80% is more than likely just word of mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Someone, And I mean, we know because we ask now and again, you know, the guys get chatting to guests like, oh, how did, you know, is this your first time? Well, we know it when it's someone's first time because we have guest history on our booking system and stuff. But yeah, a lot of the time it's just like, yeah, a friend of mine came, they said it was great and that's why we're here, or my brother, or whatever, you know.
Mm.
Or someone's like, our parents are in town and we brought them here. And,
yeah.
Which is...
And that's amazing.
Really, yeah.
So, you are gonna actually... you're closing now for Christmas and a little bit in January, I've seen on your website.
Yeah.
So this is a break now then. A break is coming up for you and your...
Yes. Finished. Can't wait. I was talking to the guys yesterday about it. I feel like sometimes, you know, when the end is in sight,
yeah,
like when you can see the end,
yeah,
it makes it harder almost, because you're like, you're just trying, you know, you're like, oh, not that we count down the days, like we hate it, but you know, like when everyone works very hard, you know, everyone's probably, it's been a long year for us, especially we've more than doubled the amount of people we do, you know, it's been, and a lot of the guys have been there since the beginning of the year and have seen it kind of grow into this beast that it is now, right? And I think now that everyone knows we just work until Thursday, then everyone's off for a week, and then we come back and we do New Year's Eve, and then we shut for 2 weeks. It's like, I think everyone's just really looking forward to having a bit of time off, going away, you know, recoup and re-energize. But I think if there wasn't like the end in sight, you wouldn't know, so you just carry on, you know.
Yeah.
But now that everyone knows, right, we're gonna do Thursday next week, then we're gonna shut Friday, we're having a staff party, and then everyone's off.
Do you want to share anything with our podcast listeners, something which is gonna be after you're closed for until mid of January?
Mm-hmm.
What's gonna happen next year? Anything what you want to tell?
No, next year, as far as I'm aware, which was... Well, I mean, yeah, no, nothing's going to change. We're just going to keep on going as we are now. The restaurant isn't going to... You know, it's not like last year where we were going to expand. We're not expanding the restaurant. No, it's just maintaining what we've got and what we do, really. Our sandwich shop, which we opened in spring, Rogue Sarnies, which is just attached to the restaurant. If we're going to do anything in terms of growing the business, it will probably be in that side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's obviously it's a lot easier to kind of replicate that than it is with a restaurant, obviously. You know. The sandwich shop is not anything less, you know, it's amazing. And the success of that is an incredible eye-opener for Freddie and I particularly. You know, We're from restaurant world. We didn't. I mean, everyone knows how to make a sandwich, right? But we didn't.
Not everybody.
Well, yeah.
Not everyone.
True, but we adopted our restaurant kind of approach to sandwiches. So we kind of, you know, everything is cooked and made fresh, and we make the bread and.
Oh yeah, it's delicious.
Did you try one
with this butter?
Yeah.
What's the name? I have the menu here.
Bovril butter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the pickled walnut.
Yeah, that's just...
It's amazing. It was actually my dessert. Because Marco came over and said, did you have the bread? And I said, no. And he was ordering it up again.
Yeah.
I wanted to go for a dessert. But in the end, I had your bread as dessert. And it was delicious. It is.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you know Bovril?
No. Yeah.
So Bovril is beef extract, basically. It's beef stock.
Yeah.
Reduced really to it's really, really thick.
Is it?
So, I mean, do you know Marmite?
Yeah.
So it's very similar to Marmite.
Okay.
In terms of the way it looks and the texture. But obviously Marmite is I think, yeast, vegetables, right?
Yeah.
Bovril is made from beef. And it's a very quintessentially British thing, you know. It's like it's extremely British. It's not a very popular these days, to be honest. And I've always loved it. So growing up, you'd have it on toast with butter for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
or when you go, if you go and watch football or any sporting event and it was very cold, you pour boiling water in it and you drink it as a hot drink. But it's amazing. It's so versatile. When you're making a stew or cooking something braised in the oven, you can add bovril and it will, you know, it's a great thing. And I've always loved it. So, and I think the whole, for some reason, Marmite completely, like everyone in, nearly everyone in the country would probably got a jar of Marmite in their cupboard in this country, I'd say. A lot of people would anyway. But I just thought, what a shame that, I mean, a lot of people don't even know bovril anymore. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's in danger of becoming extinct. So I was like, right, I need to do what I can to help bovril. So
okay.
So we decided to do bovril butter.
Thank you for that choice and for taking such good care of me on Friday.
No, my pleasure.
And it was great to meet you and all your employees.
Yeah.
Say hello to them for me tonight.
I will.
And it was great having you on my podcast and to having actually the first restaurant and the first English talk on my podcast.
All right.
So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Are you going to translate this into Austrian?
Maybe not.
Yeah, no, that'd take a lot of work.
So see you next time in London.
Yes, I hope so.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
No, I did not translate this into Austrian. It would have not been the same. And it's just the way I want it to be my 10th episode of Golden Podcast mit Wert. It's actually even better than I ever imagined to be my first Jubilee episode. So thank you for listening to it. And if you want to stay in touch with us, please follow us on Instagram, follow Rogues. It's rogueslondon.uk is the website, and on Instagram you find them with rogues_ldn, and you find me on goldwert.tirol or also on Instagram, goldwert events and coaching. Thank you for listening to episode 10 of Gold, dein Podcast mit Wert.